Isaiah chapter 15. The Bible says this, "The burden of Moab, because in the night of Ar of Moab is laid waste and brought to silence. Because in the night Kir of Moab is laid waste and brought to silence. He has gone up to Bajith and to Dibon, the high places, to weep. Moab shall howl over Nebo and over Medeba. On all their heads shall be baldness and every beard cut off. In their streets they shall gird themselves with sackcloth. On the tops of their houses and in their streets every one shall howl, weeping abundantly. And Heshbon shall cry, and Elilea, their voices shall be heard even into Jahaz. Therefore the armed soldiers of Moab shall cry out. His life shall be grievous unto him. My heart shall cry out for Moab. His fugitives shall flee into Zoar and Hefer of 3 years old. For by the mounting up of Luhith with weeping shall they go it up. For in the way of Hornonim they shall rise up a cry of destruction. For the waters of Nimrim shall be desolate. For the hay is withered away. The grass faileth. There is no green thing. Therefore the abundance they have gotten and which they have laid up shall they carry away to the brook of the willows. For the cry is gone round about the borders of Moab, the howling thereof unto Eglaim, and the howling therefore unto Beer Ilium. For the waters of Dimron shall be full of blood. For I will bring more upon Dimon, lions upon him that escapeth of Moab, and upon the remnant of the land." Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd bless our message tonight, God, and help us, Lord, to think about the things we're going to hear, Lord, and to allow it to change our lives as Christians, Lord, and to help us, Lord. I pray for our nation, God. America needs you, Lord. So help us, we pray, in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Isaiah chapter 15 and the one following is what the prophet says are the burden of Moab. Isaiah's prophecy to Moab was one of great desolation that was coming upon that country. Isaiah delivered this prophecy to his own people of Israel to show them that there is a providence which governs the world and all nations in it, and that to the God of Israel, the worshipers of false gods were accountable. The accomplishment of this prophecy within 3 years would serve as a confirmation to God's own people of the truth and the other prophecies that the prophet delivered to the people. As we read the prophecy of the judgment upon Moab, I couldn't help but notice the cries that went out from Moab. In verse 4, you find the armies of Moab crying. It says here, "And Heshbon shall cry, Elia, their voices shall be heard even to Jahaz. Therefore the armed soldiers of Moab shall cry out. His life shall be grievous unto him." Not only do we find the armies of Moab crying, we find the people of Moab crying. Isaiah 15, verse 5, "For in the way of Horonaim they shall raise up a cry of destruction. For their cry has gone about the borders of Moab. The howling therefore unto Eglaim, and the howling therefore unto Beer Ilium. For in the going up of Luhith, continual weeping shall go up. For in the going down of Horonaim, the enemies have heard a cry of destruction." Not only that, we notice that the children of Moab are crying. In Jeremiah 28, verse 4, it says this, "Moab is destroyed. Her little ones have caused a cry to be heard." And yes, even Isaiah, the deliverer of the prophecy, is crying. Did you hear what he said in verse 5? "My heart shall cry out for Moab." All throughout the Old Testament, we read about cities and nations that God judged, and we find that we find the cries that were cried forth from these cities. Sodom and Gomorrah had a cry. Genesis 18, verse 20. "And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous." Egypt had a cry. In Exodus 12, verse 30, "And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead." The land of the Philistines had a cry in 1 Samuel 5 and 11. "So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, send away the ark of the God of Israel, and let it go again to his own place, that it slay us not on our people. For there was a deadly destruction throughout the city. The hand of God was heavy there, and the men that died not were smitten with the emrods." And notice this, "and the cry of the city went up to heaven." Babylon had a cry. Isaiah 43, verse 14, "Then saith the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans, whose cry is in the ships." And again in Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 46, "At the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth is moved, and the cry is heard among the nations." Backslidden Israel had a cry. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the dearth. Judah mourneth, and the gates thereof languish. They are blackened to the ground. The cry of Jerusalem is gone up. All of these nations had a cry that heralded out for God to judge them, a cry that mourned as God judged them, and a cry of desperation at the aftermath of God's judgment. If the history of the nations pinned down the eternal word of God had a cry, there's no doubt in my mind today that America also has some cries. And I want to preach a message entitled tonight, The Cries of America. The Cries of America. As we look back this past week, as our nation celebrated its 238th birthday, a lot of things came to mind. How can we not think about the miracle of a nation that we are privileged to be a part of? How could the youngest nation on earth in such a short period of time become the most blessed? The answer to that is a simple one, God. God. Not Allah, not Buddha, not whatever your conscience feels like believing in, but God. Jehovah God. The one and only true God of the King James Bible, who is made manifest in the flesh by his Son, Jesus Christ. The one who sent his Spirit to dwell in the bodies of all those who have accepted his free gift of salvation. That is the God who has made this nation what it is today. Despite what our president may say, despite what members of Congress may say, despite what any person in the world may say, America was founded as a Christian nation. It is said of Israel that God chose a nation. It is said of America that a nation chose God. God, in a unique way, has blessed our beloved America down through its young history and has used her to accomplish some amazing things for his glory. I don't know about you, but I love America. If you cut me, I'll bleed red, white, and blue. I echo the words of Samuel Francis Smith of the song, My Country, 'Tis of Thee, that we sang this morning. My native country, thee, land of the noble free, thy name I love. I love thy rock and rills, thy woods and templed hills. My heart with rapture thrills like that above. Every time I see an American flag, something stirs within my heart as I think of the price it was paid to freely stand and salute her as she passes. I think of the over 2.5 million dead and wounded soldiers that paid with their blood down through our nation's history and health so that I could be free. My mind flashes to all the moms and the dads, the husbands, the wives, the sons and the daughters who no longer have their loved ones to touch, kiss, and hug. What a price! What brave patriots! What a nation! What a wonderful God! Yet despite America's blessing and bountifulness, the majority of the people of this great country have turned their back on the one who is the source of this great blessing. As God looks down from heaven at America, from our east to west coast, to our northern Canadian border down to the south, I believe he hears them. Just as he heard the cries of Moab, the cries of Sodom, the cries of Egypt, the cries of Babylon, the cries of Israel, and the cries of all the other nations of the time, I believe God hears the cries coming from America. I believe, number one, God hears the cries of innocent blood. Genesis chapter 4, verse 9 through 11 says this, "And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done?" Notice what God says here. "The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand." Abel was the first of innocent blood to be shed at the hand of another human being. And innocent blood still flows through the land of America. From the back alley houses of horror, like we just recently heard about in Philadelphia, where Dr. Kermit Gosnell was convicted of murdering newborns by severing their spinal cords after being born alive from botched abortions, to the prestige clinics with names like Women's Health Center, Hope Clinic for Women, and Family Planning Center, the innocent blood continues to soak the ground of American soil. Over 60 million babies have been aborted in the last 41 years of this nation, and in the last 41 years in America. LifeSiteNews.com recently reported this. Here's the headline: "Aborted babies incinerated in U.S. waste-to-energy facility to provide electricity." The British Columbia Health Ministry has admitted that the remains of babies destroyed by abortion in Canada's British Columbia facilities are ending up in a waste-to-power facility providing electricity to residents of Oregon. The province's health ministry said biomedical waste shipped to the United States to be incinerated includes human tissue such as surgically removed cancerous tissue, amputated limbs, and fetal tissue. So that's what America thinks of her babies. They're just refuse to be thrown in with cancerous and amputated limbs. Just as the innocent blood of Abel cried up to God from the ground, the rivers of blood from the aborted innocents cry up to God today in this nation we live. The cry of innocent blood. Not just the abortion of babies. And by the way, I'm so sad for any innocent that ever lose their life. But it isn't amazing that, you know, our country will make such a to-do and such a horrible crime when children that are months old or even years old, and by the way, it is a horrible crime, it is horrible, it is wicked, we'll make such a to-do about that, but ignore the millions that are aborted every day in the name of women's rights. Since 1980, there have been over 300 children killed in school shootings alone. You know, it's just not the cry of the aborted, and it's just not the cry of the school innocent. According to DisasterCenter.com, from 1960 to 2012, in only 42 years, within the categories of murder and aggravated assault, there are almost 40 million reported cases. All of the breasts snuffed out, all of the hearts untimely forced to stop beating, all of the innocent blood crying from the ground to God in heaven. You know, I couldn't help but notice the significance of the dates of these statistics. A research company in Texas, which has gathered and tabulated statistics from hundreds of sources relating to the rates of moral decline in America, Specialty Research Associates, under the direction of David Barton, has released a report entitled this, America, to Pray or Not to Pray, which uses over 100 pages of graphs and statistical analysis to prove that crime, venereal disease, illiteracy, suicide, drug use, public corruption, and other social ills began a dramatic increase after the Engle versus Vattel Supreme Court decision was made in 1962, which banned prayer from schools. That is no coincidence, folks, that all these things went up as America decided it didn't want God in schools anymore. The blood of innocence has always flowed. But it's no coincidence that when God was publicly kicked out of the schools in America, that the river started flowing wider and deeper. As we think about this, as we think about the innocent blood flowing through the land of America, I wonder what God hears when the cries of the innocent ascend up to Him. Well, we have a Bible example of this. There was an evil king in Israel's history named Manasseh. I won't have you turn there. Let me just read to you a few things about this king. 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 16 tells us about this. The Bible says this about Manasseh. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much, till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to the other. Beside his sin, whereof he made Judah to sin, in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord sent against him, in 2 Kings 24, against him the bands of the Chaldees and the bands of the Syrians and the bands of the Moabites and bands of the children of Ammon, and sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by his servants the prophet. Surely at the command of the Lord came this upon Judah to remove them out of his sight. Why? For the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he did, and also for the innocent blood that he shed. For he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. Notwithstanding, the Lord turned out from the fierceness of his great wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah, because of all the provocations that Manasseh had provoked him withal. And the Lord said, I will remove Judah also out of my sight, as I have removed Israel, and will cast off the city Jerusalem, which I have chosen, and the house which I have said, my name shall be there. You know what God's response was as innocent blood cried out to him? According to the verses we just read, it provoked him to wrath. It provoked him to wrath. Oh, not God. God's a God of love. God wouldn't do anything like that. Folks, we better read our Bible and understand that God, there's certain things that cross a line with God and provokes him to wrath. Never mistake the long-suffering and mercy for God for the fact that he overlooked sin and will not judge sin with consequences. I can't help but wonder, how long will God hold his wrath as the blood of the innocents cry to him from the ground of American soil? You know why? Because he hears their cries. He hears the cries of the innocent blood. Number two, not only that, God hears the cries of the wicked. The Bible says in Genesis 18, speaking of Sodom and Gomorrah, verse 20 and 21, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come up unto me, and if not, I will know. In Genesis 19, verse 13, for we will destroy this place. Why? Because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. It seems like wickedness is the new normal in America. As I was doing some research this week, I found some things that just literally made my blood boil. The Queen James Bible, also known as the Gay Bible, is a new assault on biblical orthodoxy and moral purity. This is to be expected in a world of moral relativism. In it, the King James Bible has been reproduced with selected verses altered. The ones, guess what, that relate to homosexuality. The Queen James Bible is a perversion of the original text and is a result of obvious prejudices against the original Hebrew and Greek text in order to make homosexual practices appear acceptable. I just read this week where, sold at a restaurant in San Francisco along a gay parade route, the new offering from fast food giant Burger King is called the Proud Whopper. And it comes in a rainbow-colored wrapper with the tagline, "We are all the same inside." When you open it up, that's the tagline when you open it up. USA Today reports that the move also demonstrates Burger King's desire to stay connected with its base of what they call millennial customers. Gay rights is an issue that reverberates strongly with many millennials, both inside and outside the U.S. Burger King also was a sponsor of San Francisco's Gay Pride Parade. Machado, the president of Burger King, says that the first time Burger King has sponsored a gay pride parade in the U.S., although it has sponsored some outside the country. And on the stories could go. We could spend hours talking about these things. What is this, folks? It's the cries of the wicked. The cries of the wicked. You know, the cries of the wicked may think that they're going out for their rights, for their demands of tolerance and acceptance. But the real cry going forth from every author of perversion, from every waver and supporter of the sodomite agenda, is a cry to heaven, daring God to pour forth his righteous judgment. The cries of the wicked. I read an article this week entitled, "The United States Leads." And here's the categories that the United States leads the world in. United States has the highest incarceration rate in the world and the largest total prison population on the entire globe. United States has the highest divorce rate on the globe by a wide margin. United States has the highest rate of illegal drug use on the entire planet. There are more car thefts in the United States each year than anywhere in the world by far. There are more reported rapes in the United States each year than anywhere in the world. There are more reported murders in the United States each year than anywhere else in the world. There are more total crimes in the United States each year than anywhere else in the world. United States has more police officers than anywhere else in the world. United States has more people on pharmaceutical drugs than any other country on the planet. And to me, this is the most staggering statistic right here. More pornography is created in the United States than anywhere on the entire globe. 89% is made in the United States, and only 11% is made in the rest of the world. This is why God told his prophet Jonah, this is what God told Jonah about Nineveh. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. And let me say this, if the wickedness of Nineveh came up before God, the wickedness of America no doubt cries out to God also. Wickedness of America. The cry of the innocent blood, the cry of the wicked. Now, I don't want to leave you with no hope tonight because, yes, the innocents do cry. Yes, the wicked does cry. But let me say this, we can combat those cries because not only that, not only does God hear the cry of the innocent, the cry of the wicked, I believe God hears the cry of the righteous. The cry of the righteous. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1, God told his prophet, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sin. As discouraging as it may seem, as the volume increases with the cries of the innocents and the cries of the wicked, there needs to be across this land an equal loud sounding of righteous people doing just like Isaiah, crying aloud, sparing not, and lifting up our voices like a trumpet. If God has to hear the cries of all the babies and innocents being slaughtered, if God has to hear the cries of all the wicked and perversion going on across America, then Christians, let us arise and be counted and make sure he hears the voice of righteousness as we trumpet it across this land. The Church of Jesus Christ should be tired of taking a back seat to the ranting and ravings of the wicked voices that want to cause their cause to be heard. You know what we need to do? We need to stand up. We need to speak out. We need to declare the righteousness of a holy God and that He is willing to save and forgive the sins of all those who put their trust in Him. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. When it came to the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, you know what God was looking for? God was looking for a certain number of righteous people to hold back His judgment from falling on a group of cities for their abominable wickedness. I'm not sure the population of this total group of cities, but based upon historical evidence, they were in the thousands. So what God was proposing to Abraham was this. In order for him to spare thousands of people from a fiery judgment, all he was looking for was 10 righteous people. Even though he had already said to Abraham, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is very grievous, he was still willing to spare a great cry of very grievous sin for only 10 righteous people. As we heard this morning, what a merciful God. I believe this principle is not only true for Sodom and her surrounding cities, but has also been true throughout history and is also true for the nations of this earth today. I believe in God's mind, America also has her number. I believe as God Almighty looks down from heaven and sees the blood of 60 million babies flowing in the name of women's right, He's looking for some righteous people. I believe as God looks down from heaven and sees perversion and abomination committed and endorsed by a government in the name of equality, He's looking for the cry of some innocent people. I believe as God looks down from heaven and sees a country dominated with self, pride, materialism, He's looking for a few righteous people that will give Him a reason to keep fiery judgment from burning across this land. God is listening and looking for the cry of the righteous. By the way, just because you're saved doesn't mean you're living a righteous life. The word righteous means just, it means lawful, it means clean, it means clear. If every person that claimed Christianity was righteous, then we'd have a whole lot of righteous people in this nation. But may I say, we don't. Being saved is part of being righteous, but that's not all there is to it. Lot was saved, but was far from being the Christian God wanted him to be. You cannot be saved by your works. But let me say this, okay? As Christians, if you're living a righteous life, you must be living a clean life. You can have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you, yet still participate in unrighteous behavior. When God looked at Sodom, I don't believe God could even find one righteous person in Sodom. When God looks at America today, He sees religion. But having religion doesn't make you righteous. When God looks at America, He sees people going to buildings they call churches, but going to a place with the name church on the sign doesn't make you a righteous person. When God even looks at a church like Blessed Hope Baptist Church, so I'm so thankful that He sees people who are busy doing things for Him. But folks, let me say this. Just having a job to do at the church doesn't make you a righteous person. When God looks at America, He sees all kinds of things done in His name, but that doesn't mean He sees them done by righteous people. What should the cry of the righteous sound like? If God's willing to spare a nation for the cry of the righteous, what is the cry of the righteous? What does it sound like? Well, I believe this. I believe it ought to be a cry of truth. Jesus said this in John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Telling people what they want to hear is not going to help them one bit unless it's the voice of truth. You know what I found out in life? I found out that people are afraid of truth. Most people don't want to be told the truth. The truth isn't always a popular message, especially in the day and age that we're living in. Yet the only thing that will combat the wickedness of the day is the righteous cry of truth. Pilate asked this question of Jesus, "What is truth?" And the answer to that is this, the truth is the Word of God. We need to combat wickedness with truth. The truth that man has to one day face a just and holy God. The truth that God doesn't overlook and turn a blind eye to sin. The truth that there is only one way to heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ. And any other belief in anything else besides Christ will end a person in a flaming eternity in the lake of fire. It doesn't matter what the Pope says, and it doesn't matter what bridge he's trying to build over the religions of the world. According to Jesus, he is the way, the truth, the life. Yes, only one. And if you're going to be if you're going to send forth a righteous cry, it must be a cry of truth. Yes, it must be a cry of truth. But let me say this. As we cry with truth, we need to make sure that we cry with love. Bible says this in Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love. See, folks, you can tell someone the truth, but do so in a mean, harshful way to where, you know what, it's not going to help them one bit. It's just going to make them want to shun you and turn their back on you. Now, you know what, if you do tell the truth in love, well, you know what, you can't help their reactions then, but all truth must be coupled with a cry of love. We have a responsibility to cry forth righteousness, absolutely. But let's make sure that we speak the righteous we cry, the cry of truth is with a cry of love. By the way, the cry of love isn't a cry that always agrees with someone. In fact, true love, agape God love, tells us things about ourselves we don't like to hear. Nevertheless, because God truly loves us, he tells us about our sinful condition, and he tells us about our wicked hearts that will keep us from him if not fixed through the blood of Jesus Christ. The cry of the wicked is that of intolerance, hate, bigotry, if you don't agree with them and speak out against them. But the cry of righteousness in love will tell them the truth about their lifestyle that if not repented of, will send them to hell. The cry of truth will be more effective if the cry of truth is accompanied, if it's accompanied with the cry of love. Should we lift up our voices and cry against sin? Absolutely, positively, yes. Should we, through red hot fiery preaching, expose the wickedness of our day and warn others about it? Absolutely. But all should be done and said with the grace and agape love of God. So let me ask us some fair questions this evening. Are we living our life in such a way as to be considered part of the righteous number? Are we crying out a cry of righteousness bathed in love? Does God hear our voice in combat of the cries of the innocent and the cries of the wicked in America? So God hears the cry of the innocent blood. God hears the cry of the wicked. Please, please, Christians, let God hear the cry of the righteous. And number four is this, the cry of the intercessor. The cry of the intercessor. This was the testimony of God when he looked at Israel in a time of its spiritual darkness. Ezekiel 22, and we hear these verses quoted a lot, but sometimes we don't understand the context of them. Here's what God told his prophet Ezekiel. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And God says this, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But what a sad testimony. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed by their heads, saith the Lord God. When God was looking for a reason not to destroy the land of Israel, he was looking for something to hold back his judgment. He was looking for a man to stand between the nation and his judgment. He was looking for an intercessor. But what a sad testimony to the nation of his own chosen people when God says, but I found none. Let me say this, folks. If those wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were worth interceding for, don't you think America is worth interceding for? I mean, if Abraham was willing to intercede for a group of cities that committed horrible, wicked sin, I think America is worth interceding for. Yes, we are a wicked nation. Yes, we deserve judgment. But who will stand in the place between the judgment of God and the country in which we live? Who will be willing to pay the price and intercede for America? Oh, but I know, we're too busy, aren't we? With our schedules, our lives, our needs, sometimes even our token of service to God to soothe our conscience to get the preacher off our back, to really get serious about the spiritual condition of this country that God has allowed us to call home. The Bible says this in Numbers chapter 16, perfect illustration of someone who interceded. Numbers chapter 16, the people committed sin, and God was sending forth his judgment. And here's what he said, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, and I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, take up a censer, put fire therein from off the altar, put on incense, and go quickly into the congregation and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from God. The plague has begun. And may I say this, the plague in America has begun. And Aaron took, as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And notice this verse here. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. You know why the plague was stayed? And why more people didn't die? You know why? Because of two men who were willing to intercede. Two men. If Moses would have washed his hands and say, fine, God, destroy him, God would have destroyed him. But you know what? He loved his people enough, and him and Aaron loved the people enough to intercede to God for them. The plague was stayed. I wonder in 2014 if there are still people willing to stand between the living and the dead for America. Are there any people willing to cry out to God for the sins of this land? Are the prayers of the intercessor and the cries of the righteous enough to offset the cries of the blood of the innocents and the cries of the wicked? You know, sometimes we think being patriotic means just because we salute the flag and sing God Bless America. Let me say this. True patriotism is being willing to put the needs of your country above the needs of yourself and to do whatever it takes for God to bless a nation. Don't tell me you're a patriot if you're not living a righteous life. Don't claim how much you love America if you don't spend time crying out to God on her behalf for the sins that we flaunt in the face of God. God needs to hear the cries of the righteous. God needs to hear the cries of the intercessor. Will he hear them from the lives of the members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church? I can't control what anybody else does, neither can you, but I can control what I do. And folks, let me tell you this. I don't know how much time we have left as a nation. All I know is that it seems like the more we're living in, or the days we're living in, and the more as things progress, things keep getting more wicked and more wicked. I mean, the things we see, the things we hear, we're not surprised even that we hear them anymore because of the rate of wickedness that is progressing in our land. But folks, listen to me. It doesn't matter how much time we may think America has. Let's stand between God and America. Let's stand in intercession between God pouring out his judgment upon this land. Hey, there's cries going up to God from America. There's cries going up. The cries of the innocent, the cries of the wicked are going up. But are there cries of righteous people? Are there cries of intercessors? I challenge you tonight as we close out this 4th of July weekend, as we celebrate the 238th birthday of our nation. You know, I think the best way to celebrate it is to cry out to God for her. Cry out to God for her. Send forth a righteous cry. Send forth the cry of intercession in behalf of our nation. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the message tonight, God. Thank you for this great land, Lord. Thank you for allowing us, Lord, to be here to have this great land to live in and celebrate its freedoms. And thank you, God, for America. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as Christians, to love our country enough to live a righteous life. Lord, love our country enough, Lord, to pray and intercede, Lord, on behalf, Lord, of our nation. Lord, a great price was paid so we can even be here. And God, wouldn't it be a shame if all that blood was shed in vain, Lord, because Christians dropped the ball and weren't willing to pray and Lord, weren't willing to be what you'd have us to be for our nation. Help us, God, we pray. Please help us. I pray that you'd help us here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, Lord, to love our nation. Help us, God, to love it enough, Lord, to be what you'd have us to be for it. Lord, I pray that you bless this invitation tonight, Lord, and I pray that you do whatever needs to be done in the hearts of your people, and we pray in your name. Amen.